the Bible is God's revelation. It is where God has spoken. It is where we find definitive, authoritative, satisfying answers to all of those questions that matter.
Why do we study the Bible? As Christians, we realize it is unique among all books. But what are its distinguishing characteristics? Pastor Don Green will answer those questions today on The Truth Pulpit. Hello again, I'm Bill Wright, and we're moving further into our series, God's Word in a Godless World. Don, we've seen how Christ established His authority, and how the apostles in turn established the authority our Lord passed on to them. But how does the Bible transmit that authority?
Well, my friend, I am very excited to open this new message from Psalm 19 for you. The content of it is so rich. We're going to see that Scripture is an inerrant word that God has given to us that has complete and final authority for everything in spiritual life. Later on, we're going to see the blessing of God to those who heed Scripture and the heart response that we should give to God's Word. Psalm 19 gives you a comprehensive approach to the rest of your life, and the beginning of it is just ahead on The Truth Pulpit.
Thank you, Don. And friend, let's get started right now in The Truth Pulpit.
Turn your attention to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I'm just going to read three verses, beginning in verse 7. David wrote, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." What I want to do is lay out four foundational qualities of the Bible to freshen your thoughts, to deepen your commitment, to study the Bible, to defend the Bible, and to obey the Bible. So there's four points that we're going to go through and hopefully come out of this with a deepened appreciation for the treasure that is ours in the Scriptures. The passage that I just read to you is set up in the form of a number of parallel statements. Each verse gives us two names of Scripture, two qualities of the Scripture, and two beneficial effects of the Scripture. Each verse, two names, two qualities, two effects. So if you do the math out on this one, there's six elements in each verse. I've just read to you three verses, 18 points. That's right. But there is a very systematic approach to the way that David presents what he has to say here in this psalm. And today we're going to look at these four points that are going to clarify and set in your mind why the Bible is God's primary avenue of self-disclosure. Why we look at the Bible and say, this is where the Creator of the universe has made Himself known. And so the first point is this, if you're going to take notes, the Bible is God's revelation. The Bible is God's revelation. This is the starting point of Christianity. This is the true starting point for understanding the Bible, is that the Bible is God's revelation. What we mean by that is it's the place where He has verbally made Himself known to the human race. When we speak about the principles of creation and in conscience, God has made Himself known there, but it's in a non-verbal manner. Whereas here in the Bible, we can read in human language what God has said, where He has made His character known, where He has made His mind known. And so it is more specific, it is more targeted, and it is communicates more than non-verbal things like creation could do. Now, setting things up very systematically here. When I use the term revelation, here's what I want you to write down about that. A very simple definition. When we say the Bible is God's revelation, what do we mean by that? Revelation is this. Here's how I'm defining it. When we use the term revelation, we are saying that it is God's disclosure of His previously unknown truth to man. It is where God has disclosed His previously unknown truth to man. In the Bible, this unknown truth, God has declared spiritual truth that we otherwise would not know. What is the nature of God? What is the nature of the Creator of the heavens? Is He an arbitrary and harsh deity that is remote and uninvolved in what He has created? Or is He personal? Is He loving? Is He still involved? Apart from the Bible, we do not know the answer to that question. Is this God in charge? Or are there other forces that compete with Him? We don't know the answer to His sovereign rule until we go to the pages of the Bible. Who is man? Who are you? You don't know the answer to that question. What is the source of man? Where did we come from? We don't know the answer to that question unless we look at the pages of the Bible. Is man basically good or basically evil? We don't know the answer to that question unless we look at the Bible. Who is this Lord Jesus Christ by whom we measure time? Where the hinge of time is B.C. and A.D. in the year of our Lord. Who is this hinge of time called Jesus Christ? We don't know the answer to that question unless we look at the Bible. How is it that I, as a man with a guilty conscience, conscious of sin, conscious of guilt, where do I find relief for that guilt that is permanent and lasting and assured? There is no answer to that question apart from the Bible. What is coming? What happens when I die? What is coming at the end of this world? Is there judgment coming? Beloved, I hope you see from that little brief survey that all of the questions of life that actually matter are locked up in a box that we don't have the key to on our own. The things that really matter when you're laying in bed, when you're lying on your deathbed with cancer, when you've lost someone close to you, when a parent has buried a child or someone has buried a beloved spouse, it is just total darkness apart from the Bible. We're left to make up things and say foolish things like, well, maybe the man upstairs is looking after me. That kind of foolishness and hopelessness is what we are condemned to apart from this book. And it is a great blessing to mankind. And it should be the anchor of every Christian in this room to say that the Bible is God's revelation. It is where God has spoken. It is where we find definitive, authoritative, satisfying answers to all of those questions that matter. Because in the end, even the best life of fullest prosperity of the things of this earth, when it comes to the point to take that final breath and to step from this known life into the unknown, beloved, it is incumbent upon every man who cares anything about his soul to say, what happens then? When you understand that those things are issues, beloved, what you start to realize is what a terrible position the human race is in. Apart from the Bible. Apart from the Bible, man speaking individually and as a human race, apart from the Bible, if we were to close the Bible and to destroy every copy and just shut off God's revelation for all of eternity, as if that were possible, it's not, but speaking hypothetically, if we were in that position, apart from the Bible, apart from the God of the Bible, you and I and the whole human race would be doomed to simply stumble around like a drunk in the dark from light post to light post, looking for answers that could never be found. Totally disoriented, unable to think straight, in the dark and not able to see. That's the picture of humanity apart from the Bible. But when we open the Bible, when we open the revelation of God, we find authoritative, spiritually clear answers that we can find nowhere else, because the Bible is God's revelation. The fact that you hold the 66 books of the Bible in your hand is a testimony of great grace from the God of the universe that He has made Himself known. And beloved, you should have welling up, as we're thinking about these things together, you should have welling up within you, stirring up within your hearts, a deep sense of gratitude that God has worked in your life to bring you to a point where you can have a Bible in your hands, and that you can read it, and that if you're a Christian, you can understand it. No question about it. Now, I want you to understand. I want us to see these things in a big picture, and I also want you to see it in detail, because this is such a definitive text. But how does this passage teach us the reality of revelation? How is it that this passage teaches us that the Bible came from God? Well, look at verses 7 through 9 with me again. And notice this little phrase, of the Lord, of the Lord. O-F, the Lord, of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Six times the psalmist uses the name, the covenant name of the God of Israel, uses the name Yahweh to indicate that that God, the God of the Bible, is the source of the words in the Bible. He's saying that this law, this testimony, these precepts, this commandment, this fear, these judgments come from the Lord. It is the place where God has spoken. And so God is the source of the words that we find in the Bible. This did not originate in the thinking of man. The words of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and all points in between came from the living God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who made himself known through the nation Israel and how he redeemed them, who made himself known in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in control of all of world history. That God is the God who gave us the book that you hold in your hands today. It is the word of the Lord. Now, the Bible makes that principle very plain in other places as well. Let me remind you of just a couple of familiar passages. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd invite you to turn there just to give your fingers a little bit of exercise, because I've got 18 points here. We're going to be here a while. You might as well limber your fingers up. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beloved, I can't tell you how important it is to have this clear in your mind. Young people, you have got to have this clear in your mind. Everything that we say today is so fundamental. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But know this first of all." First of all, this is a matter of primary importance. That no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. No man generated this on his own thinking, on his own impulse. But, by contrast, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The origin, the source, was God, who through His Holy Spirit moved in the lives of the writers of the Scripture in order to have them record what it was that He wanted to be said. Now, that passage in 2 Timothy and the passage in 2 Peter variously describe this process in a way that helps us understand how this happened without giving us all of the details. 2 Timothy describes it as a picture of God breathing out the Scriptures through the human writers. 2 Timothy describing it as God breathing out His words. In 2 Peter, it has the picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon the writers of the Scriptures like a wind coming upon a sailboat, and the wind driving that sailboat so that the sailboat is moving on the power of an energy that is not from itself, but is from outside itself. And so the Holy Spirit carried the human authors along like a wind drives the sailboat with its energy. That's the picture, beloved. The source of the Bible is God Himself. In order for you to understand the intrinsic nature of the Bible, what the Bible is in its own very essence, you have to understand and recognize that God Himself spoke through the human authors of Scripture so that what they recorded is properly defined as the very Word of God Himself. That's what we have in the Bible. God used the human personalities of the authors to express His Word. God is a God of language. He communicates, and He used language to reveal Himself to us. And so those writers wrote precisely what God intended. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, it was written by man. Couldn't there be error written into it? I'm going to get into this in just a minute. But when you understand that God, in His sovereignty, in His illimitable, omnipotent power, God overruled and God worked through that process, you understand that He's able to protect those human writers from injecting error so that while it bears the mark of the personality of the human author, ultimately, the source is from God, and it says exactly what He intended. Beloved, that is why we call the Bible the Word of God. The Bible is God's revelation. That's the end of point number one. Now, because we're saying that the Bible is the Word of God, because it is the Word of God, that has an important implication. That has a very important implication, and these four points are kind of locked together and reinforce one another. But the second point is this. I want to use a more technical term here. The Bible is inerrant. Inerrant. That's one word, I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T. The Bible is inerrant. That's what we teach at Grace Community Church. Many years ago, there was a group of scholars, conservative scholars, that got together, and they issued what's called the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. And they use a definition of inerrancy that I want to borrow here today, or to describe the Scriptures. Here's what we mean when we say the Bible is inerrant. And Article 12 of the statement says this. It says, we affirm that Scripture, in its entirety, is inerrant, being free from, you want to jot this down, being free from all falsehood, fraud, or deceit. When we say that the Scriptures are inerrant, we say that they are completely pure, they are completely free from anything that is mistaken, anything that is fraudulent, anything that is deceptive. The Bible is totally reliable in absolutely everything that it affirms, without exception, without qualification. Now think with me for a moment. Why is that necessarily the case if God inspired the Scriptures? If the Bible is revelation from God, then it's obvious that it is inerrant and that what we are saying here is most definitely true. If God inspired the Scriptures, they are truth. Because, here's the reason for this, this is the way that you think about these things. If God inspired the Scriptures, they are truth because God Himself is a God of truth. The character of Scripture is determined by the God who gave them to us. The character of Scripture is determined by the God who gave them to us. God is a God of truth. God cannot lie. Therefore, anything He speaks is by definition truth. Stated from the other side, whatever comes from Him is free from error. I want to give you three passages here to just jot down the references to give you a point to remember this on. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. You know, it's interesting. This is a side point, but it's interesting. It's a mistake to think about omnipotence as God being able to do absolutely anything without qualification. No, God's omnipotence is animated by His own holy character. So God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. There are some things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. He cannot violate His own holy character. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. That will never, ever happen. It has never happened. It is not happening now, and it will never happen throughout all of eternity, because God is a God of truth. And in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said, as He prayed to the Father, He said, your word is truth. So, we have these assurances that the Bible is completely true, free from error. It's guaranteed by the character of God Himself. Now, with those things in mind, come back to Psalm 19. I want you to see these things in this immediate text as well. In light of those fundamental principles that God is a God of truth, God cannot lie, His word is truth, look at this passage in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, with those simple principles in mind, and see how this psalm requires those same conclusions. Where it says in verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. Verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true. This passage, as it speaks about God's revelation to man, sets forth the highest possible standard of purity and perfection for the Word of God. Because the Bible is revelation from the God of truth, that is why we believe and teach that the Bible is inerrant. God superintended the writing of the Scriptures to preserve them from error in everything that they affirm. In everything that the Bible teaches, God so worked to make sure that it was absolutely accurate, that everything that it affirms is absolutely true, and that no error crept into it. There is not a single cell of the cancer of falsehood found anywhere in the Bible. If there was, that cancer would multiply and dominate the whole thing. God, as it were, established a quarantine around the Bible to keep all error out and to keep the purity of truth in all that it expresses. And so we come back to what we were saying earlier. Whatever the Bible says about God, about man, about sin, about salvation, whatever the Bible says about coming judgment is true. And let's go one step further, because this is where you engage the battle with squishy evangelicals. Squishy evangelicals. Evangelicals who I wish would just drop the name. Because when we say the Bible is inerrant, we are saying it is without error in matters of science and history as well. We reject the approach that tries to limit inerrancy to only matters of faith and practice, which is where some people try to go to make a truce with scholars in the academic world and with men at large who want to talk about science and history, and they'll exclude the Bible from those. Listen, that does not work at all. Science is a study of creation, and God is the creator. God, therefore, what He says about His creation is true.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, with part one of a message titled, The Bible, Complete Authority. It's another important part of our current series, God's Word in a Godless World. Next time, we'll get the final two foundational qualities attesting to the full authority of the Scriptures. Plan now to be with us here on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also, we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts and CDs that you can get of our broadcasts. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.